Morning. Okay. Today's daf in Zvachim. We start the sixth parak of Zvachim today. Daf Minchas 58. All right. Now, I think perhaps one of the bigger misconceptions that's out there in terms of the Beis HaMikdash, for those people who are uninformed, which was most of us, all of us actually, is that you go up onto the Mizbech and you shecht up on the Mizbech, right? That's, I think if somebody painted a mental picture of like what happens to the Beis HaMikdash, so you know, you take your animal, you go up the Mizbech and you shecht on the Mizbech. Now we're halfway through Zvachim and we know much better. That's not true. And in fact, the Pasuk indicates just the opposite. Al Yerech HaMizbech. Torah says that you do it on the side of the Mizbech. But still this idea of, you know, taking the animal and going up on the Mizbech, you know, kind of like, you know, like Yitzchak. You know, Yitzchak was taken up onto the, you know, but, okay, but still, it's a misconception, and it's not, in fact, that's certainly not the proper way to do it. We know that Ola, Chatzas, Hashem have to be shecht in the north of the Mizbeach, right, that we know for sure. Shlamim, Toda, Pesach, Bechor, Maista, Behema, they could be shechted anywhere in the Azara, as long as it's Pesach or Moed, but they could be shechted anywhere in the Azara. But as far as this idea of shechting on the Mizbeach, it's not the right place to shecht. Okay, good. So the sixth parak, the beginning of the sixth parak, which we start right now, talks about what if. What if you did shecht on top of the Mizbeach? Is that okay? Now, a couple of considerations before we start with the Mishnah. In other words, for Ola, you have to, and Ola, Asham and Chatas, you have to be in the north. So, is the Mizbeach in the north? So, it's a consistent machlokus throughout all of these sugyas, Zvachim, Midos, Tamid, where exactly the placement of the Mizbeach was. Okay? And I drew a schematic on the board, and the reason why I'm not going to go with that picture today is because I need to move the Mizbeach. and with that picture, it's going to be challenging. So good. So I have erasers. I have a marker. So we need to move the Mizbeach. So one consideration that we need to have throughout this whole discussion is, well, where's the Mizbeach? Is the Mizbeach in the north? Is it in the south? Okay. So that's one thing to consider. Another consideration to have is, you're not on the ground. You're not on the ground of the Mizbeach. So, and as we have already learned, in order to be part of the Avodah, so the Kohen has to be on the ground, his feet have to be on the ground. Right? In fact, we've already discussed earlier in the Masechta, Kohen, first of all, can't be wearing shoes, can't be stepping on anything other than the ground. We even, Gemara earlier had a discussion of maybe the Kohen standing on another Kohen's feet. Okay? Full floor was so cold. But we know that's no good. That's unacceptable. Well, the Gemara, I'm not sure if the Gemara resolved that question, but in other words, it has to be on the ground. Again, that may not be the biggest consideration, the biggest deal, because you could just simply say that the Mizbech is elevated ground. Right? We know it's Mizbech. In fact, the Mizbech is called Mizbech HaAdama. It's, you know, and we learned about it just the other day in terms of actually its actual construction. It was basically stones cemented together and poured. So, you know, you could make the argument, which I guess we're going to do, is that the Mizbech is part of the ground. So from that standpoint, you know, fine, so it's part of the ground. But, you know, in terms of it being north or south, or where is it? So let's start with the Mishnah. Kachi kachim, sheshachtim beroshim Mizbech. So if you have kachi kachim, so now you have your Ola, your Chatos, your Asham, which we know needs to be shecht in the north. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi Amar, Kilu Nishchet B'Tzafon, it's like you shechted it in the north. Now that Ki'ilu is a very strange language. It's like you shechted in the north. What do you mean? North and south are geographic locations. Are you in the north? Are you not in the north? What does it mean, Ki'ilu Shechted B'Tzafon? It's like you're in the north. Okay, so that requires an understanding. And then the Mishnah brings in one other opinion, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mechatzia Mizbech V'Ladam K'Darom, Mechatzia Mizbech L'Tzafon K'Tzafon. So he divides the Mizbech, north and south. So if you're shechting on the north side of the Mizbech, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda draws. Now, right now, ignore where this is relative to this. Not yet. Just, I drew it all because it'll save me time. But Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda draws an imaginary line. And anything to the north is to the north, and anything to the south is to the south. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay.
He clearly assumes that it's centered.
Okay, so that's a fair assumption. That's the Gemara is going to start with that assumption because that is the fairest way to understand them. Okay, but even that's going to be challenged. Okay, it's so much, you know, so much comes into play over here. So we'll work our way through the whole sugya. And fine, the Mishnah really gives us very little information. The Mishnah, all the Mishnah does for us is provides for us two opinions, Rav Yosi and Rav Yosi and Rav Yehuda. And let's try to make sure that we're not too confused, meaning they're two different people, right? And in fact, by the way, just to make matters even more interesting later, probably tomorrow, we'll talk about a Rav Yosi Aglili. I'm not sure if it's the same as Rav Yosi. I think it is, but whatever the case is. In our Mishnah, we have two opinions. We have Rav Yosi and Rav Yosi and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosi says the entire top of the Mizbech is acceptable for Ola, Ola Chatas Asham. Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda says no, half and half, chatzi chatzi. The top half is good, the bottom half is no good. For your kache kache. And again, as Rabbi Tushwell points out, it's normal to assume that Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda centers it. It's normal to assume that, right? It would be a safe assumption.
Amar Rav Yosi assumes it's in the south.
It's in the.
It's ki'ilu shachar. Sounds like it's in the south.
Okay, fine. You're right. Okay.
So because if it's in the north, we'd have to say ki'ilu.
Okay. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. It's funny. It's not a bad position you're just stating, but watch the next lines of the Gemara. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Omer Hayir Rav Yosi, Kula Mizbech B'Tzafon Kai. All right, so we're going to start off with the following, says Rav Yochanan. So this is, just follow the train over here, follow the Mesorah. It's Rav Asi quoting Rav Yochanan about Rav Yosi. Okay, Rav Asi is a student of Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan is an Amora, and he's giving us pshat in Rav Yosi. Okay, that's all important, meaning that Mesorah is important, as you'll see throughout the sugya. So he says that when it comes to the opinion of Rav Yosi, you will start off with the following assumption. The entire Mizbech is up in the north. Umay ki'ilu, and now, obviously, so what is he saying ki'ilu? It's as if you shecht in the north. Don't say the word ki'ilu. You are in the north. Ma'u detei mabina nal yerech v'leika kamash malan. Oh, because we know that the requirement of shechting is al yerech ha-mizbech. Right? We say that in Karbanos every morning. Right? Al yerech ha-mizbech saviv. So you have to be on the side of the mizbech. So, and you're not. You're on top of the mizbech. So I might have thought that even though, from a geographic standpoint, it is in the north, but I could have argued, it's not north. I need north of the mizbech. Okay, so kamash malan, and that's the chiddush. And that's the ki'ilu of Rav Yosi in the Mishnah. Okay, so far we have only established one thing, and that is, and even that's going to be challenged, but that is that according to Rav Yosi, the entire Mizbech is up in the north, and we're giving a pshat in what he meant when he said the word ki'ilu. So, Amalei Rav Zera, Rav Asi, Elam Yatel, Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, Hachinami, Techese B'Saf, Mechese B'Daron. Okay, so if we want to go with this, so that means that according to Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, it's centered. So that half of the top of the Mizbech is in the north, and half of the top of the Mizbech is in the south. V'chite ma'achanami, what's so bad with that? Maybe that's the correct pshat. V'ha'at huda amart, mishmei d'Rav Yochanan, mod d'Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, shimshach and connect them b'karka p'sula. So the Gemara says, we have another statement by Rabbi Yochanan, that if Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, if in theory you could shecht it in a place where there's Mizbeach, now later on the Gemara is going to wonder, what are you doing? You're shechting under the Mizbeach? Where are you right now? But, okay, let's just deal with the theoretical. We're going to see, side's also not going to be good. Okay, fair suggestion, but, okay, again, I'll show you later on why that can't be. So, Modra of Yosashim shechten connectem bekarka psula. So, if you shecht it, meaning on the top, it's fine according to Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, northbound. If you shechted on ground level, right, again, let's just deal in theory. If I went down from where I was on the top of the Mizbech and I shechted on ground level, that wouldn't be fine. That would be pasul. So how do you understand that? Meaning if Rabbi Yosi, Rav Yehuda is really centered, and really the north is the north and the south is the south, so if I, in theory, went down to ground level, I should be in the north. It should be fine. So Amalei Hachi Kamar Rav Yochanan. Shnei Mikra Echad Darsha. So now what the Gemara is going to do is really revisit the essential question of what's the two opinions of the Mishnah? What's Rav Yosi, what's Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda is saying? How is Rav Yochanan understanding those two views? And interestingly enough, it has nothing to do with the location of the Mizbeach. Nothing. The pasuk says like this: "V'zavach galav v'solosech v'shlamecha," and you will shecht on it your ola and your shlamim. Actually, it's a pasuk in Chumash which does give an indication that the shechting is done on the mizbeach. Again, we know it's not the principal position. Lechatchila should not shecht on top of the mizbeach, but this pasuk does give some sort of indication in Parshas Yisro. Rabbi Yosi Savar kula la'ola v'kula la'shlamim. So Rabbi Yosi says, you know what the Torah is telling us over here? That once you're on top of the mizbeach, you are in the top of the Mizbeach has a special status. Special status. Meaning that when you're on ground level, so you have to gauge where you are. Right? If I'm shechting an Ola, I have to be in the north. If I'm shechting a Shlamim, I could be anywhere. That thing for your downstairs, if you're downstairs. That's if you're on ground level. But once you're on top of the Mizbeach has special status. Where, regardless of where the Mizbeach is, doesn't matter. Top of the Mizbeach is totally acceptable for Ola, totally acceptable for Shlamim. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. And Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Chetzil Ola v'Chetzil Shlamim. And Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda is basically saying the same thing with one twist, with one minor tweaking. And that is, I agree that the top of the Mizbeach has special status. I agree that on the top of the Mizbeach, irrespective of where you are, to the ground, it's fine. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to divide the top of the Mizbeach. Half for Ola, half for Shlamim. If I go back to the Pasuk says, V'zavachta alav, es olosecha ve'eshlamecha. Now what Rav Yosi and Rav Yosi and Rav Yehuda are arguing about is simply pshat in the Pasuk. When it says that the top of the Mizbeach has special status, and it doesn't matter where you are in the Azara, but the top of the, it's just a question now of, what does the Torah mean when it says Ola and Shlamim? Now, and the Gemara goes through the argument even better. The Isak Adach Kula Ola Kasher Hashakula Ola Kasher Kula Shlamim Bibaye. So if Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda says, look, I have to be dividing the top of the Mizbeach into two parts. What do you want to tell me? You want to tell me that the entire top of the Mizbeach is good for Ola and Shlamim? So you know what the Torah could have just said? Torah could have just simply said, take it and shecht your Olas on top of it. Period. And I would have said, well, if it's good for Ola, it's good for Shlamim. I mean, why? What is that argument? We know that if you're on the ground floor of the Azara, we know that Olas are limited. You can only shecht Ola up in the north, and that's it. So if I go on to the top of the Mizbeach, and the Torah says, you know, the top of the Mizbeach, total top of the Mizbeach, good for Ola. So now I would say, I would make an argument, and I would say, well, if it's good for Ola, which is limited, it's got to be good for Shlamim, which I have the entire Azara to do. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to say, and on it, V'alav, and on it, you're going to shecht Ola and Shlamim, that must be coming to teach me half. Half for Ola, half for Shlamim. Now, truth of the matter is that, I guess then it becomes somewhat difficult to explain why top half versus bottom half. I guess because it parallels the Azara itself, right? Azara is divided top half, bottom half. Okay, maybe. And what's Rav Yossi's argument going to be? It's the Rich. No, I don't buy that argument. Because the Torah needs to tell me both. I wouldn't have learned one from the other. Because by Ola, you're limited. You're extraordinarily limited in terms of where you can shecht your Karban Ola, only in the north. And on a busy day in the Beis HaMikdash, where there are a lot of Karban Olas, and all of them need to be shechted, so and you are confined in the Azara, I can only shecht northbound of the Azara, of the Mizbeach. So I would have thought that what the Torah is basically saying is, here, I'll give you some, you know, in a pinch, I'll give you some extra room. You can take the animal, go up onto the Mizbeach, and shecht it on top of the Mizbeach. So that's if the Torah would have said Ola. Now that the Torah, so, and if the Torah would have stopped there, I would have said, no, that's a special halacha by Ola. That's why the Torah needs to tell me both Ola and Shlamim, but the truth be told is that it applies to both Ola and Shlamim on the entire surface area of the Mizbeach. So really now, essentially, we are saying, according to Rav Yochanan, a totally new pshat in the Mishnah. And that is that this idea of shechting on top of the Mizbeach, either an Ola or a Shlamim, is totally irrespective of where you are on the in regards to the Azara. northbound, southbound, where's the Mizbeach? It doesn't matter. Right? Rashi just simply calls it Gzeiras HaKasuv. Right? It's a special halacha for the top of the Mizbeach that the top of the Mizbeach you can shecht olas and shlamim. According to Rav Yossi, the entire top of the Mizbeach, irrespective of where you are. Right? According to Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, we're going to divide it. Half for an ola, half for a shlamim. But it's a special din that when you're on the top of the Mizbeach, it has special status. Okay. Gufa. Let's go back to a statement that we made just a couple of minutes ago. Am Rav Asi, Am Rav Yochanan, Modi Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Shim Shachtin, Kenegdem Mekarka, Psulos. We said that according to Rav Yochanan, even though I'm on the top and I shechted, it's fine. If in theory I went down to the floor, Kenegdan, right where you were on the top, and shechted it, psulos, it would not be fine. So Amalei Rav Acha, Medifta L'Ravina, my Kenegdan Makarka. So where are you exactly? Meaning, let's not talk theoretically. You go down and you shechted below. Where below? Ilei Ma'am Yesod Amasovev. So the Gemara starts off by, maybe you didn't go all the way down to the ground. Maybe you went to the Sovev, that's that little walkway that's around the side of the Mizbeach, five amas above ground, or six amas above ground if you count the Yesod. Or maybe it's on the Yesod itself, Haigufa Mizbeachu. That's not on the floor, that's on the Mizbeach. Va'od mai kenegda mekarka. And also, it doesn't match the language of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was saying, I need to be shechting on an area that's actually on the ground. Well, maybe there are like mini caves in the Mizbeach. And maybe what you did is, you know, there's like this little cutout in the Mizbeach and you're going inside and you're now on the ground level, right, in some sort of little hollowed space in the... There's no such thing. In fact, if it did have that, it wouldn't even define it as a mizbeach, because Atayim learned in the Brisa mizbeach adama taaseli sheem mechubar meadama shelo yivanenu agabe mechilos v'lo agabe kippin. So we know you can't build the mizbeach on arches. You can't build the mizbeach over tunnels. The mizbeach has got to be a full solid material, top to bottom. So again, what did Rav Yochanan mean, where if in theory I went down to the ground level and I shechted right there, it'd be no good? Where are you? So lotzricha debatzer b'tzurei. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about where we shorten the Mizbeach. We downgraded. We downsized the Mizbeach. So that now I'm in an area, in other words, Mizbeach is normally 32 amas by 32 amas. That was the size of the Mizbeach, but in theory the Mizbeach could be smaller, right? That dimension of 32 by 32, that's not a halacha Moshe Mistina. We know other Mizbeachos that were built previously were not that size. So if we downsize the Mizbeach and I shecht in an area where now there were once upon a time was Mizbeach, that's his point. That's where it's no good. Okay. Fine. So, okay. Good. So where are we right now? We are now understanding a new halacha. This mishnah, the first mishnah in Zvachim, the sixth perek, is telling us really a new halacha. The halacha of the top of the mizbeach having special status. Okay? Gzeiras HaKasuv, right? There doesn't seem to be any logic flowing behind it. Right? Maybe there is a svara, but certainly I'm unfamiliar. But the top of the mizbeach has special status. So it's kulo, according to Rav Yossi, it could be totally for the... you could shecht ola, asham chatas, all your kachem, can be shechted on the top of it. Now, by the way, you have a better pshat in the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah says it's ki'ilu nishchita b'tzafon, right? That ki'ilu is much better now, right? Because you're not in the north, not necessarily in the north, okay? And now that's the ki'ilu of Rav Yossi in the Mishnah. And according to Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, half in the north, half in the south, and that's simply because he takes that pasuk from Parshas Yisro and he divides it, right? Some of the ol up in the north, some of the shlamim down in the south. Okay. All right. Amar Rabbi Zera. Efshar Yisro lahad Rav Yochum lo tanin la ben masnisa. Now, this is all Rav Yochanan talking. Now, Rav Yochanan is now giving us pshat within Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. and Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, where's the Mizbech itself? According to Rav Yochanan. So, go back to the top line, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yochanan. So, we know. Meaning, because Rav Asi quotes Rav Yochanan. And if you go back to the first lines of the Gemara, Omer Haya Rav Yosi, Kulu Mizbech B'Tzafon Kai. The entire Mizbech is in the north. Now, our first move this morning was to take that statement to Rav Yochanan and try to explain Pshat in our Mishnah with that statement to Rav Yochanan. That was our move. And the Gemara moved away from that, and the Gemara says, no, it's nothing to do with that, it's a special status. Okay. Right, but that's what we tried to do, and that's really got us going through the first part of today's daf. Now for the second half of today's daf, and really the remainder of today's daf, we would like to support that statement of Rav Yochanan. If you look back at the first Rashi in the Gemara, Am Rav Yochanan, Am Omer Hayev Chulei, Gemara Gemir La Rav Yochanan. Meaning, how did Rav Yochanan know that? That according to Rav Yossi, the Mizbech was entirely in the north, and the answer is tradition. Tradition. He had a tradition that this is how Rav Yossi felt. Okay. The Gemara now will spend the rest of today going like this. I'm a Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera says, Esher Isa Lahad Rav Yochanan Velo Tanin La Bemas Nisan. I can't imagine that this is just all we have is Rav Yochanan. That's it. It's got to be that really this is some sort of more than just a tradition, meaning I'm sure that if we go through Mishnayos, right, all Shisha Sidra Mishnah, and we do that kind of search, I'm sure that we're going to find a Mishnah that points in this direction. Okay, now this is, the Gemara is going to do all the work for us. My job is easy. I'm just going to read the Gemara and translate. But basically what the Gemara is now going to do is it's going to do a search engine, go through all the Mishnayos and all Shas, although you can, you don't have to go through Zerayim and Taharos and, Nizikin, but still. And it's going to basically find a Mishnah that indicates that, yes, according to Rav Yossi, the entire Mizbech is up in the north. Okay. So he went out, he did an examination, and he found the following. So it's a Mishnah in Tamid. Okay, and we're going to learn these Mishnayos. And the Mishnayos in Tamid is a Masechta, small little Masechta found at the end of Seder Kachim. So we'll get to it about a year from now. And in it, it basically goes through the basics of the Karban Tamid. So the Mishnah goes like this. Did not biro misham atse te'ena yofim l'sa'adir maracha shniya shal kataras Keneged Karen Ma'aravis Zeromis Mishoch Mena Karen Kapit Sofon Arba Amos Be'omed Chamish Se'in Gachalim. The Mishnah in Talmud is describing now bonfires, pyres on top of the Mizbeach. There are multiple pyres on top of the Mizbeach. If you just quickly look over here, you'll see that there is a Maracha Gedola, one major Maracha, and the Maracha Ketores, the pyre over here for Ketores. Okay, let's go to my model. Okay, so what we're going to do now, this is the top of the Mizbeach, there's a ramp going up, I didn't draw the ramp. What we're going to do over here is we're just going to look at the Maracha Ketores. With the shape of it, the rectangle, square, he has a rectangle over there. That, right now, that's not the significant part. The Mishnah Tamid describes the Maracha being four Amos from the bottom of the Mizbeach. Okay? Four Amos from the bottom. Now you realize that the entire Mizbeach was 32 by 32. But keep in mind though, that number 32 by 32, that includes the Yesod and that includes the Soveh. So in other words, from a bird's eye perspective, from top to bottom, from left to right, it's 32 by 32. Okay? So,
but it's what, really 30 by 30?
Well, the top is really 28 by 28.
28 by 28.
Right. You sew it over here. One Amma. Sovev. One Amma, one Amma. So the top was really 28. Okay, but just deal with the schematic. So you have now this Maracha Ketores, which is four Ammas. First of all, what is the Maracha Ketores? It's this. Every day we're burning incense in the Heichal, right? In the morning and in the afternoon, the Ketores. And so, but I got to burn it, which means I need fuel. Okay? So they didn't have a gas grill in here. Okay? No propane, wasn't that sophisticated. The fuel came from this pyre over here. They burned coals over here. So you had glowing hot coals over here. And every day what they would do is they would take the coals, go down the ramp, go into the Heichal, and deposit it right on the Mizbech HaKetaros. Then they would put the Ketaros on top of it, and then you'd have a billow of Ketaros going up. And that they would do every day. So this is your Maracha Ketaros. What we will be discussing for the rest of today, if I can't get you to stay here in this room, is placement of the Maracha HaKetaros. Where does it go? Where does it actually go on the Mizbech? So, the Mishnah and Tami tells us, I'll tell you exactly where to go. Put it in the southwest corner. And by the way, my picture is so much better than that because I have everything north, south. I have it correct. Okay. So you and the Mishnah says you put it in the southwest corner, 4 amas from the bottom of the Mizbeach. 4 amas from the south end of the Mizbeach. Okay. Now obviously the Mishnah in Tami is telling us 4 amas. There's reason. In other words, that must be significant why we're choosing the number 4 amas. So let's do this inside. And it's amazing. Here's what the amount of information that the Gemara is just processing and putting together is fantastic. And the whole purpose is to show us that it must be that the Mizbeach is in the north, according to Rabbi Yossi.
And we attribute this Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov to Rabbi Yossi somehow.
Which Mishnah?
The one in Talmud.
What, you mean this one right here?
Yeah, because right now it's just a Stam.
Right, it's a Stam Mishnah. Right, Tosis talks about it?
Right now,
there's
Gemara
also all the Mishnahs of the Tanner, Elazar, Yaakov. Yeah. Tosafot on the next page kind of discusses it. Right? Okay, fine. Tosafot, look at the top Tosafot on the next page. He says, Yeshlam enihi dahadalok Rav Yossi, hachka Rav Yossi, asya shavir. Right? It doesn't, all the Mishnahs in Tanner don't coordinate with Rav Yossi. Okay, so
didn't Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai also say there was north, like if you
correct, but we're right now for the rest of today, our focus is on Rav Yossi. It's really on the statement of Rav Yochanan, where Rav Yochanan says that according to Rav Yossi, it's up in the north. And so what we were going to do now is we're going to try to support that statement of Rav Yochanan based on just some Mishnah out there in Shas, and here's the Mishnah. And here's the Mishnah that we're choosing.
Did that fire source have to be on all the time?
Did it have to be on all the time? No, but we needed it every day because we burn Ketaros every day. Okay, so let's go back. Let's go over the Mishnah again. Okay, Biru Misham. We're 6 lines from the bottom of the page. Nun Chetz Amaral. Biru Misham. I say to Eina Yafim. So they would go there. There, meaning Rashi says they would go to the Lishkas, what's it called? Lishkas, I'm sorry, Deer Ha'etzim. Deer Ha'etzim.
In the wood.
Right, at the woodshed. over here. It's out here in the Ezra's Nashim. Okay, that's where they kept the wood. So they had a woodshed. In the base of Mikdash. Okay, so they would go out to the woodshed, Biru Misham, and they would go choose from over there, Atzei Te'ina Yafim, and they would choose fig wood. Rashi, great Rashi. Atzei Te'ina Yafim, it was fig wood. Regilim v'tam agadahu shebo ha'isat takanal adam arishon v'yasu lahem chagoros. Okay, now I'm not the person. Meaning, you want to understand this Rashi better, so I'll send you to Rabbi Miller, although he's in Eretz Yisrael now. But I'm saying I'm not the person to explain the symbolism and the huh?
Rashi's opinion. Let's say it was a fig.
I mean, Rashi's quoting Medrash. But it's specifically, we're not talking about the Eitz Hadas. We're talking about what they would do to clothe themselves. They would go to the fig tree, and they would make little loincloths out of the fig leaves. So the right. So this right. Correct. Some people say it's the same fruit, but what the fruit was is not the significant thing. Over here, it's talking about what they actually used to dress themselves. Now, how do you understand the connection? So again, I'm not the person. I should, but I don't. So technological reason, but Yasulaim Chagurah. Fine. Okay, so that's where they would get fig wood. So the Seder Maracha Shneel Shakataris Keneged Karen Maharavis Dramis. So now, right, we have a much better sense now of what's going on. And it was placed on the southwest corner. Mashuchman Akaren Kapit Safan Arba Amos. And it was four amas from the bottom. But omid chamishayim. And how much would they use? Five sa'as of wood? No. Five sa'as that, I'm sorry, enough that would create five sa'as of coal. Now, we don't make coal, meaning we have propane, and even when we use coal, we buy actual coal. But in other words, enough wood to produce five sa'as of coal. Over Shabbos, b'omid shmona sa'im gachalim. On Shabbos, you would need eight. Why extra on Shabbos? Because we have to burn the two spoonfuls of Lavona. That's on top of the shtei alechem. Not the shtei alechem. On the 12 loaves of bread. Sheshama you know them shnei bazich Lavona shalachem upon him. Fine. Umay simana Rabbi Yosihi. Now, who is this? This is Rabbi Yosi, Ditanya. So now that we learned the Mishnah and Tamid, now we're going to coordinate this Mishnah and Tamid with a braisa of Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says, Omer Zeh Siman. Meaning, how are you going to remember this? Simple. Simple. Kol hanita bifnim linatim b'chutz, ein onosin ela b'samach she'ein lifnim. V'chol hanita b'chutz linatim lifnim, ein onita ela b'samach she'ein lifnim. Oh, that's your simon. There are things which are going to go from here to here. There are things that are going to go from here to here. Right? You see my shulchan over here? Beautiful. Beautiful shulchan. Mm-hmm. On top of the shulchan, you have 12 loaves of bread. Mm-hmm. On top of those 12 loaves of bread, you have two spoonfuls of lavona. Shnei bezichei lavona. What happens is that on Shabbos, we take the two spoonfuls of lavona and we burn it. That becomes the matir. That allows the Kohanim to eat the 12 loaves of bread. Those 12 loaves of bread are divided, 6 for the Mishmar that finished this week, 6 for the Mishmar that are coming up this week. There's an opinion that the division is 5 and 7. Okay, it's a zero-sum game. each shift is going to get 12 eventually after the week is done. So, but anyway, so that's the Shulchan. So I need to take the Shnei Bezichei Lavona, the two spoonfuls of Lavona, on Shabbos, bring it out here and burn it on top of the Maracha. So, where am I going to burn it? Closest place that you can get to over here. Now, I know when I say closest, by the way, you have to, in other words, everyone over here is thinking about the walk that the Kohen needs to do. So everyone's going to go, well, I'm going to put it all the way down here, maybe I'll put it right over here. Okay, I understand that the Kohen needs to walk and the Kohen can't just simply throw it on top of the Mizbeach. I do understand that. But we do mean closest from a bird's eye perspective as the crow flies. So closest from here to here, and that is going to be four amas up. And anything which is going to go from here to here, which is your coals, which you're going to have to transport every day from here to here, closest it could be from this point to this point. That's Rav Yossi Simanim. That's the signs of Rav Yossi to know where exactly the placement of the Maracha should go.
Do you have any questions?
Okay, now stay with me.
Call on this law of conservation of steps or whatever.
Right.
What is the logic behind it?
Why would you put two fires?
I would throw out there.
What's the logic behind it?
In Ma'avir and Olam Mitzvot, maybe. Maybe.
But it doesn't, but you're coming up to top of the ring.
I'm sure. And it's not, right. And the funny part is, it's not really conservation of steps. Because the Kohen has to walk up the ramp and then make a left hand turn.
But there's a fire to his right as well. So you're walking in between two fires.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's
it's a fire. Yeah, I'm with him.
There's two. There's a big one.
No, I know, but that was for that reason.
Right. Unclear. I don't know. Okay. So now, stay with me. So first of all, let's just identify what we're talking about. So, Elim Shirayim. So, we're not talking about the Shirayim. Let me slow down. So, if we're talking about the Shirayim, the actual leftover blood after you did the Zrika, we have a pasuk for that. I don't need Rav Yosi for that. It's just a straight pasuk. The pasuk says, El Yisod Mizbecha Ola Asher Pesach Ola Moed. And not only that, the kol anita b'chutz v'natim b'fnim I need. And anything on the outside going inside, ilei megacham shal yom kippurim. What are we talking about? We're talking about the coals of Yom Kippur. Behedjik sibu v'lakach malo machta gachalei esh. Now, the Gemara does not quote the rest of the pasuk, but you need to, because the rest of the pasuk goes on to say, lifnei Hashem, And so it's the part of the Mizbech that is immediately facing the Heichal. Okay, so we're not talking about the Gachalim of Yom Kippur. We're not talking about the Shirayim Ella. So here's what we're talking about. So as far as what we're taking outside of the Heichal, we're talking about the two spoonfuls of Lavona, which are on the table, which are on the Shulchan, and every Shabbos you got to take it out and put it on top of here and burn it on the fire. Okay, that's what's going outside. And what's coming inside? So Anita B'chus Neinat Me'fnim Gachalim D'chol Yuma V'Yuma. So that is that's the coals. The coals that every day I got to bring into the Mizbech HaKetores, lay it on top of the Mizbech HaKetores so I could burn Ketores. I can't burn Ketores without fuel. So the fuel is coming from the outside, inside. And just like the Gachalim of Yom Kippur have to be proximate to the Heichal, these two as well. Now that we got all that, so it's just fantastic. Mishnah Tamid that tells us where it is. Simanim of Rav Yosi telling us that here's how to remember it. It's the closest. Now, with all that stated, now we get to the payoff, which is where's the Mizbech? Okay. Now, Umay Kasavar. Now remember, by the way, the driving force behind all this Gemara is that number one, it's the closest, it's Lifnei Hashem. Now, there are two, like when we talk about the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, not drawn to scale, right? I just sketched this right now, not even close, but here are the numbers that you need to recognize. There is a entrance that goes out of the Heichal. This is the main entrance, the main exit. Right? This is the Pesach Heichal. It's 10 amos wide. Okay. There's an antechamber, there's an ulam. Remember, the knives were stored over here, there were knives stored over here. This is an ulam. It had a huge opening to it, 20 amos wide. Now, this ulam, does this have the same status as the actual Heichal itself? Machlokas. In fact, Tosos says, if you look at Tosos, funny, second Tosos on the page, V'shas Mesupak B'chol Makom. Every time you get to this discussion, the Gemara's going to have a debate. So, when I say Lifnei Hashem, am I looking at these 10 amas over here or these 20 amas over here? The correct answer is Machlokas. Unclear. But fine. Either way, I need this Ma'aracha to be Lifnei Hashem. I got to be drawing a line, a straight line across, and it's got to be where this Ma'aracha sees either this opening or this opening, one or the other. And so now, what is a variable? A variable, right, where the Mizbech is going to be. Meaning, I'm going to actually move the Mizbech northbound, southbound, or center it so that that's not going to be our variable.
What does it matter if the whole Mizbech, as long as any part of the Mizbech sees the opening?
No, it has to be, right now we're talking about the actual Ma'aracha, because the Ma'aracha has to be Lifnei Hashem. So our variable is going to be, in terms of this entire discussion, where the Mizbech is going to be. Keep in mind that in terms of north-south, these 10 amos, in other words, the Heichal centered. That we know for a fact. So if I were to draw an imaginary line over here, this really demarcates north-south. This is to the north, and this is to the south. So that's not a variable. So the only variable is going to be where the Mizbech is going to be placed.
The word Lifnei Hashem is also used when the Korbanot are put in the north.
Right.
So why are you using Lifnei Hashem for this?
And we're being very specific about
it.
Okay, it's a reasonable question. I don't have a...
Yeah, but I think it's the same thing for what Kachik Khan did. It's like Lifnei Hashem also, anywhere, as long as it is facing... No, but
north,
as long as it's facing the entrance,
okay.
For Kachik Khan,
right.
It was
like... Right.
Well, we had two things. One was Lifnei, and the other one was Sabir, something like that. So I think it was putting both together.
They all...
Right.
Either way, the Mizbech cannot be on center.
The Mizbech cannot be on center. So,
because if that Ma'aracha, which is at the bottom, has to line up either with the 20 or the 10, the Mizbech has to be in the north.
Okay, yeah. But again, that's one opinion. The way he drew it is one person's opinion.
Is that the acceptable one?
No. There is no acceptable one. I told you, this is one of the strangest things that is subject to a debate. that we were debating where the placement of the Mizbeach was. They had a temple.
It was
a
picture.
Correct.
Another call up there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right.
Whose opinion is that?
I don't know. All right. So
was there a temple that actually saw the Mizbeach?
Wait. Yes, yes, okay.
But they also
my kasavar. E kasavar kulam mizbeach bedarum kai. So if you're going to start off with the assumption that the mizbeach is totally in the south, so then, as Hedy just pointed out accurately, that Mishnah Tamid cannot make any sense whatsoever. You take that mizbeach and you put it in the south, you're going to have to take this ma'araka and you're going to have to move it
to the north,
right?
Follow it to the north.
Just like that.
All right, I know we all see it. Let me just show it. You know, some days more than others, but you know. So, if we're going to put, let's put it right. Yeah.
That's right.
Let's put it all the way southbound over here. So, and I want my maracha. No, more. Sorry.
You just have to have a little piece of
it. And let's, you know what, let's do this. Let's put the tip of the mizbeach right at that, right? So now the Gemara says, there's no way the maracha can go over here. Maracha's got to go here. Now, where can the maracha be? So again, it's got to be lifnei Hashem. So it's either here or here. But it's got to be somewhere in this range. Now remember, the entire amma from top to bottom is 32 ammas, right? This is 5 ammas.
5.
This from here to here is 10. Is 10 ammas.
How do you get the 5?
Because
half of 10.
Oh, I see.
Meaning if I'm drawing, putting the mizbeach right at the edge of the center.
So it should be within the first 5.
So this is 5,
right?
This is going to be 10. 32 minus 5?
27.
27. That's exactly what the Gemara says. Oh, I'm so happy today. I got it. Right? From here to here is 27. 32 minus 10, right?
22.
The Gemara's going to say that number. Oh my gosh, it's awesome. Okay? In other words, the Marach is going to be here, the Marach is going to be here. But that's not the Mishnah Talmud. The Mishnah Talmud says 4 amas from the bottom. All right, so the Gemara is just getting us grounded. Right? No pun intended. The Gemara is just trying to tell us that there's no way. And if you want to tell me that the ulam also is part of it, so esrim v'tarti by, so you need 22. The ikasavar chetzi b'tzafam v'chetzi b'daron. So okay, good. So the Gemara says, okay, we know this is absolutely out of the question. We know this can't be. So let's take the mizbeach and let's move it to center. Okay, again, not drawn to scale. And I'm losing it.
You gotta have in mind the complication of Paraduma also, that should be able to be seen.
Paraduma is all the way out there.
No, but it should be able to see the opening.
Paraduma is off the board.
He doesn't have to see the entrance?
He does.
The coin that's... So Mizbeach in front of him cannot see it.
I'm just trying to keep everything here straight. You're literally off the board right now. Keep me here, right? Just get me through the Gemara today. Now, if this would be the case, so again, the Mishnah Talmud is not going to work out. Because again, 32, so divide this in half, so from here to here, 16.
16.
Okay? And again, 5 amas, 10 amas. So if I'm going to go 5, right? 5 amas down, 16 minus 5,
11.
Oh. Amazing. So from here to here is going to be 11. Even if I go from here, right, the lowest, quote unquote, the lowest point. So that's 10, 16 minus 10, so that's 6. Okay, and again, that's not the Mishnah Talmud. 11 amas if I start my Lifnei Hashem over here, 6 amas if I start my Lifnei Hashem over here. But that's also not good because the Mishnah Talmud says 4 amas. So let's just read that and sign. So she's by. I'm sorry. The ika savar chetzi b'tzaf mechetzi b'darin chadstrei by lamesa. So the evela kasav kedushas hecha v'ulam chadamilsehi she's by lamesa. So either 11 or 6. But again, that's not the Mishnah Tumid. This could all be, but this is not the Mishnah Tumid. Allah mishum tekstav kulam mizbech b'tzafon kai. All right, punchline. This is it. Meaning now Now that you know everything that we now know, so now you understand. So the Mishnah Talmud that allows the Marachah to be 4 amas from the bottom and still follows the rules of Lifnei Hashem, oh, so the Mizbech must be totally in the north. V'hani arba amas yisod v'amas tovi v'amam makum kronos v'amam makum ragle ha-kohani. Now the Gemara basically answers up a question which I'm sure everyone's thinking about. If the Mizbech is entirely in the north, so let's draw again our imaginary center point over here, and we're going to put the entire Mizbech all the way up in the north. So now, why do I need to put the Maracha 4 amas up? Put the Maracha right here in the corner. So the Gemara says no, because you have to take into account that first of all, the bottom is the area of the Yesod. Now, a number of you are going to say to me, which is correct, there is no Yisod in the south. True, but there's Makkum. There's that corner.
There's that little
corner.
Piece.
There's that corner. This,
it wraps it around.
Right, our friend over here goes out just out in the corner. That's the Yisod of the south. So that's 1 amah for that. 1 amah for the Sovev. 1 amah for the Sovev. 1 amah for the Kronos. Right, because the Kronos are on top. Again, we're going straight. We're looking straight down.
Right.
So 1 amah for the Kronos, and then we needed room for the Kohen to walk. The walkway for the Kohen, which was 1 amah.
Not thrown to scale.
But you bet. You don't even need 4 from the end.
Meaning from this end over here.
Where are we assuming that when we said the Merach is 4 amos from the bottom? We're assuming from where?
So, okay. Again, that's the Gemara is going to play with that also. Right now, we're assuming from the Yesod, from the very, very bottom. Right now, that's what the Gemara is assuming. You could challenge that, but could. So you sowed, Sovei, Kronos, walkway, and now we got to 4 amas.
Why do we assume that Kohanim is so thin that 1 amas?
The Gemara consistently, I want you to know, the Gemara consistently assumes
Sukkah.
The Gemara is beginning of Sukkah.
That apparently. You mentioned about the 4 amas.
Right.
You mentioned there's something on the corner there?
Yes.
You said you're talking about 18
to 24
inches.
I know. The Gemara in Sukkah, when it constructs a Sukkah, always starts off with the assumption that every person takes up 1 amah.
Mikvah as well, 3 by 1.
No, but you right, the right. 3 by 3 by 1.
Two.
Right? Correct. Stuart, another good proof. Mikvah, the dimensions of Mikvah are 3 by 3 by 1 by 1. Right? The Gemara always
assumes. Why do we assume that it's the minimum? Okay. Saying, aren't you worried they fall off? Even if you can sit,
I'm always
Rosh Hashanah,
right.
A person can sit in that area,
right.
To walk, you know.
Okay.
Two amas if you want to come to care.
All right, let's just finish up. Okay, there's a lot. I know there's just so many logistics over here. Ella lav mishum dekasav kulam mizbeach b'tzaf and kai. Again, that's the punchline. The punchline for the entire daf today. So the entire mizbeach must be up in the north. And now v'hani arba amas. Am Yisod, Am Sovev, Am Makom Kronos, Am Makom Ragle Kohanim, the Chimasko Lakami Tfei, Sulek Pesach. And here, now you have to understand, I can't put it any more north. Meaning, I gotta now get it as far low down as possible because I have that Lifnei Hashem requirement. And now, if the Mizbech is entirely in the north, so I've eaten up 4 amos for good reasons. Yisod, Sovev, Kronos. Malcolm Ragley, Kohanim, but if I go any more northbound, remember, 5 amas from that center point is now going to be, according to what we're working with right now, is going to be above. So that's no good. So you got to get it within 4. That's the mission over there. So, according to Chimazgul, Kamit Feisu, like a Pesach. Amar Vada Brava Hamani. I'm sorry. So good. So, right? So we're putting all that together. Now we have a Mishnah in Tamid with, based on all the information that we just gathered, supports Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that he has a tradition that according to Rav Yossi, it's up in the north, the Mizbeach is up in the north, and it was just a Gemar Gemirla, it's just a tradition. Now, I have a Mishnah in Tamid, I have Rav Yossi giving Simonim for the Mishnah in Tamid, so now it sounds like we're in such good shape, we have a Mishnah that supports we have a Mishnah that supports this Rav Yochanan statement about where the placement of the Mizbeach was.
Is Rav Yossi like older or younger than Rav Shimon Bar Yochai?
I don't know.
Because I'm, you know, like 4 or 5 pages ago, there Rav Shimon says the exact same thing.
Right. Okay. Good.
I don't know if
good. Okay.
So
So the Mizbeach was in the north.
According to Rav Yossi.
That's not the case here.
That's not there. Correct. Okay, reminder, again, I'm not inviting the international community.